You need to remember that song every day. This morning's lesson, seeing that we're ending 2023 and entering 2024, I want to give you the title of my lesson, The Armor of God, Being Ready for the War in 2024. You know, I was at Caution Street about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and Melvin Jones stole my lesson. He was giving a lesson on this very topic. And I go, man, I said, and I thought about it. As I started studying more, this is one of those lessons at the end of the year that every congregation needs to preach on. Because I don't think we understand the reality or the impact that we are about to face. I'm not a prophet. I'm not telling you what's about to come. God's already done that. What I'm telling you this morning is what we need to get ready for and prepare for. And it's most definitely spiritual warfare. You know, we had the theme here at Edge Hill. We've always talked about things are bad. They're going to get worse. But the victory's won. There's a couple of aspects of that theme I want to talk about this morning and really focus on. About that, the things are bad and going to get worse. You know, the world tells us today we need to worry about climate change. They're right. Spiritual climate change is what we need to worry about because that's what's going to destroy our world. The world is so focused on so many different things now they've lost focus on it. Because the spiritual climate has changed just over my lifetime. I was born in 1966, and I'm 57 years old today, and what has changed from 1966 and what have changed today, you can see there's been a great change in this country and this world. What values were held back in 1966 are no longer values of today. You know why? Because Satan is running free in this world. He's got a stronghold on every aspect of our lives. When it comes to our schools, he has a stronghold. When it comes to our government, he has a stronghold. When it comes to our cultures, he has a stronghold. And if we don't realize what Satan and the power that he has in this world today, we're going to lose those battles. But brothers and sisters, he also has a stronghold in the church. Because you look around and where we were in 1966 and where the church was then and where we are now, the numbers are few. We have lost people to the battle. And the brothers and sisters are probably going to lose more people to the battle in 2024. Let it not be one of us. And that's what we need to focus about on spiritual warfare this morning. You know, I love Brother Patterson when he preaches because he says it's a must. He always uses it's a must. It's a requirement. There's no options in it. And what I'm about to talk about this morning is a must. You cannot get out of it. There's not a part that you can choose or that you can take away that you can say, no, I don't really need that. When we talk about the full armor of God, it's a must, brothers and sisters. And if you don't have it all prepared and ready for 2024, you're not going to be very successful in your battles against Satan. That's what we need to understand and realize. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll spend most of our time this morning reading through Ephesians chapter 6. But I really want us to look through this almost verse by verse in some of these areas. About the spiritual warfare that we're about to face. And that we're already facing. We're in our last days. I'm not saying that because of something I know personally. I'm saying that because scriptures have told us that. And in the last days, Satan would run the earth. And we need to understand that. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 started off unusual for me. And I try to, because it's trying to, before you get to verse 10, talking about the full armor of God, is what he talks about prior to that. And then when I started studying, it all clicked. Because in Ephesians chapter 1, it starts out, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, which as promise. so that may go well with you and that ye may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in training, instructions of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly master with respect, fear with sincerity of the heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but as a slave of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whatever they are, slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master is yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. You know what this does? It separates nobody. Master or slave. Boss or employee. Co-worker. It separates nobody. And what he tells us through this scripture before putting on the full armor of God is how to treat one another. Treat everybody. You know why? Because the Lord wants to know that you need to know who your enemy is. It's nobody out there. Those are the people that we are trying to save. Those are the people that we're trying to make the difference to. There's no human being that God created is your enemy. It's Satan himself. But in the world today, Satan's already created that divide from people against people, culture against culture, organization against organization, saying the fight is among ourselves. And he tells us, no, it's not. He don't care if you're a master or you're a slave. Serve everybody as if you were serving the Lord. Because there's nobody in this room or nobody out there is our enemy. Those are the people that we're trying to make the difference in our lives. He lays it out straightforward. Don't blame the people. Blame Satan. Because you're trying to save them. Let's turn over to what we just read just a moment ago. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 says this, and I have a little bit of different version that I wrote down here. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of the believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We need to be alert and sober-minded. The enemy, the devil, is looking for someone to devour. When he doesn't take prisoners. Satan, when he comes, he wants to destroy all of God's people. He's not looking like to take prisoners as we do in war today. He's looking to destroy us. And let me tell you a little bit about Satan. He has a whole tackle box full of favorite sins of ours. He knows our weakness. He knows what our likes. He knows what we fall short of. And he's the best fisherman when it comes to fishing for us and with sin. He knows what bait to use in the summer. He knows what bait to use in the winter. He knows what bait to use in the spring and fall. He knows what tempts us. So he throws that lure out there. If it's football season, oh, we've got a game today. Oh, got him. Or summertime, oh, man, it's so nice out there today. You know, you can miss one Sunday and it won't hurt nothing. Or, you know, when it comes to contribution. You know that big bill's coming along. You better save for it. Don't give it to the Lord. Satan knows where our struggles are. He plays off of it. So why did that not tell us to be alert and sober-minded. Because Satan is attacking us every opportunity he can. And his whole purpose is to absolutely destroy us. So we got to be ready and alert at all times. Because he has a bait in that tackle box that will cover everything that you possibly can think of. He knows what we need and the weaknesses that we have. And he's ready for 2024. But the question is, are we ready? So let's start off in Ephesians. I'll leave this slide up here and let's start off talking about the full armor of God. Let's start talking about some of these aspects that we need to be prepared for. The must that we need to have. In chapter 10 in your Bibles of Ephesians chapter 6 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. First of all, you need to know it ain't nothing you can do. If you leave the Lord, you're destroyed. You cannot beat Satan on your own. It's because of God's power that he flees. We'll talk more about. But without the Lord and his power, you're powerless. He has you. So you need to realize that. And he tells us, put on the full armor of God. What part of God's armor? It's a must. The full armor of God. Remember that as we go through that. So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, against his little tricks, against his little deploys against you. So you can stand against them. Verse 12. Remember what we read about earlier in the first 9 verses about who's not our enemies. Verse 12 tells us who our enemies are. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authors, against the power of those this darkness world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Those who we are fighting against, not each other. Satan is who we're trying to fight our battles against. In verse 13, it tells us this. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. It must be important. He said it twice. You know, when I teach a class, if I say something twice or I stomp my feet or hit a little tap, it's going to be on the test. So, people, it's on the test. This is required for the test of life. This is to put on the full armor of God. So, everything that it says full armor and talks about armor, you must have. As Brother Patterson says, you must put on the full armor. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When this was written back then, this was warning God's people how things were going to get bad. But the day of evil is here. This is letting us know that this time is now. That we are facing these trials. We cannot blow it off. We cannot say, hey, it's not going to happen to us. We cannot say it's not going to happen to this congregation. The day of evil is present and here today. You may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. He's telling you, no matter what you do, no matter what you face, no matter what struggles you have, and you've done everything you possibly think you can to stand, he's telling you to stand firm even harder. Because the battles are going to get worse. And we need to be prepared for them. And now he goes into what we need to start looking into. Stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth. Over in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it tells us this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's our responsibility. It's a must, brothers and sisters, that you know God's word. You know his word. Because these words belong to him. They're not our words. We don't have no right to change them. We don't have no right to rewrite them. We don't have no rights whatsoever to do any of that. These words belong to God. Because in 2 Timothy 2, 3:16 tells us this. All scriptures is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All the scriptures God-breathed. 100% belongs to Him. We don't have the right to say, hey, my interpretation. Brothers and sisters, you know, I hate that phrase. You know, this is what I want to give people who get in an argument and say, this is how I interpret it. Well, carry your interpretation in front of God on Judgment Day and see how He interprets it. Because no matter how you interpret it, it comes down to how God wrote it and how He interprets it. So it has to have one interpretation to be fair for everybody. So the world tells you all these untruths that are out there. Once saved, always saved. The sinner's prayer, all you got to do. That's Satan, again, changing the truth, changing the culture, changing the climate of this world. Oh, you ain't got to believe all that. Our God's a loving God. He's a justful God, too. You need to understand that. You don't need to fall for those mistakes that Satan does. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we talk about worrying. We worry about, it tells us the Lord will take care of the birds in the air and the flowers of the fields. But He follows all that up with verse 33. He tells us what to do. He tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God's righteousness, God's word. Focus on Him and what He tells you to do. And don't worry about anything else out there in the world. He'll make sure everything else is covered. We got to seek after His righteousness. You know, in the wartime, the breastplate was an important part. It was to protect the vital part of the organs. Just like the helmet, as we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But it protects it. So when you're wrapped in God's righteousness, not your righteousness, His righteousness, you are protected fully. And usually on the war, it has a big old emblem who your king is. So the enemy always knew, I'm facing such and such king's army. And people need to see your righteousness, or need to see God's righteousness in you. They need to say, oh, that's a Christian right there. He belongs, he's a soldier of Christ. He's a soldier of Christ, so I know. And when Satan comes up, he's going to know. When you reveal it that way, that's one battle he's probably not going to win. But when that shield is not there, Satan takes target on you. You got to have this. It's a must to have. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us this. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Your feet fitted with the readiness with the gospel of peace. Why do you fit your feet? You don't fit your feet to sit down. You got someplace to go. You got to get up and move. You got the gospel of peace. It's a must for each and every one of you that you preach and teach the gospel. You ain't got to do it like this. You can sit down at a coffee table and tell somebody close to you about God. We're all soldiers of Christ. That's what we need to realize. We need to stand up and soldier of Christ, arise. We sing that song. We are all. There's nobody excluded. If you're a Christian, you're a soldier, and a soldier is ready for battle. Exactly. You need to understand that. You can't sit back in this war. You can't sit back and wait for somebody else to fight the battle for you. You got to fight it with God. And if you're not actively in this war, then you're going to lose this war. So we have the peace that everybody else, once they understand it, wants to be a part of it. And you have it. So you got to get up and move, my brothers and sisters. In addition to all that, in verse 16, it says, take up the shield of faith, for which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You got to trust the Lord. Whatever Satan throws at you, you just got to throw that shield up there. And says, you ain't got nothing on God. Because you understand where the power comes from. You throw up that shield, you say, you ain't got nothing on God. It's impenetrable. Nothing. Flaming arrows, anything that Satan throws to you has no power over God. Those shields back in those days were not these little shields. Some of them were little, but most of them were big, that they could stand and get their whole body behind. And it protected them. Those people have that little bit of faith going like this. There's so much that are vulnerable. Stand tall and proud and realize that your Lord has already won the victory. And that's what you need to understand and realize as a Christian. You need to have a faith, no matter what you're going through, that God will protect you. This is a must. It's not an option. Verse 17. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation. The Lord provides us through the Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as protecting the vital part of our head. It's His salvation that saved us. It's His salvation that protects us. And then we need to realize it and wear it with pride. Wear it with pride like we wear some of our football caps, or the Packers, or the Redskins, or the Commanders, whatever they call them now, the Dallas Cowboys, and all that stuff. We wear pride, and all that stuff we wear with pride. Take all that stuff off and wear your Christian pride wherever you go. You know why we don't? Because Satan tells us we need to be afraid. Satan tells us we're going to get persecuted. People don't want to see that. I don't care what they want to see. My Lord protects me. We need to realize how much power our Lord has through that sacrifice of that blood. I can make a mistake and realize and understand, as long as I turn back to the Lord, He's going to wash all that away. I'm protected because of Him and what He's done for me. We should be proud. And people ask, why are you so bold? Because it's only if you knew. You can have the same boldness as I do. Because it's going to get worse. It's going to get more difficult. It ain't going to get easier from here today. It's going to get harder. You just look around at how COVID would affect this and how that was a big attack on the church. And if you're watching live, continue to watch live if you're unable to make it. But if you're able to make it here, you need to be here, because we need soldiers of Christ in this building. This church needs us together. So if you're able to be here, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes this morning. You need to be here. Because I need you. Because wars are won by groups of people. A one-man army doesn't work, does it? We need each other. This church needs you if you're able to be here. If you're not able to be here, I support you 100%. Keep standing in the faith. Do what you can with what you have. But examine yourself. We need to examine ourselves. Are we here every Sunday that we're able to be here? Examine ourselves. Because we need each other. We're here for a purpose and a reason. We've gone through a whole year of struggles, brothers and sisters. And the Lord has still kept us here because we're still a stronghold for the Lord. But understand, we could be not a stronghold for the Lord one day. We need each other. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us this. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even and divides the soul and the spirit, joint and marrow. It judges through the attitudes of the heart. The sword of the Spirit has great power. Great power. That tells us one thing. When we got a sword in our hand, we're not a defensive attack. We're an offensive attack. Satan needs to know up front where we stand by the way we live our heart, the way we preach and teach the gospel, the way we live our daily lives. We need to see that we are living and active in Christ. Almost done, people. But these are the must that you need to know of. In Ephesians chapter 6, as he kind of closes things off with the scripture to the writers, he says this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he tells us this. And pray in the Spirit and on all occasions. Isn't that an unusual statement? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all your Lord's people. Pray also for me that I will, whenever I speak, the word may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chain. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. He tells us to put on the full armor of God. He tells us everything. Have faith, stand. When you can stand no more, stand. Stand firm. And he leads and ends all this. And then after all that, pray. Pray all kinds of prayer. Pray for yourself. Pray for the people that are around you, the churches that are around you, because we're all facing this war together. So no matter what we put on the full armor of God, he tells us to continue to pray. That's one of the prayers that I hope that you pray for me, that I will tell the truth no matter what, that I will do it fearlessly no matter who's in front of me. And I pray that same prayer for this congregation and for each and every one of y'all, that y'all will pray and stand up for what is right. Because Satan's attacking the truth. He's changing the truth in the churches, even within churches of Christ who are trying to compromise and accept things that we should not accept. We need to stand hold, stand strong. Because we've got to realize a few things. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So all I got to do is resist him? Because it's based off God's power. As long as you got, it's easy to stand up to a bully and say, you're going to leave me alone when you got the big brother in the background standing right behind you. Yeah, and that bully's not looking at you. That bully looking at the one behind you. And that's what Satan's doing when you stand up to Satan. You go, oh, Satan, not today. Because you see God behind you. Satan knows that he cannot win against God. All you got to do is resist and be in God's presence. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us this. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That conversation when you say, Satan made me do it, God gave you a door, you refused to take it. He gave you a way out, and you chose not to take it. Own your sins. Ask for forgiveness for your sins, because the Lord always provides a way out for you. We're going to turn them down. We're human. We're going to make those mistakes. But own them and realize that you chose not to take the door that God provided for you. The Lord provides you everything that you possibly need to be successful as a Christian. He's not going to let you fail. He's going to help you in every aspect of it. He's going to win your battles well before you ever take them on. He's already won the victory. You just need to understand that and realize that. And the last thing I want to leave with you this morning, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirit fervent, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. These are must now. You don't have an option on them. These are what Brother Patterson would tell you, you must do. You must be joyful in hope. You must be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. These are all musts for us to be successful in 2024, because the battle's going to get worse. I don't know what your struggles are this morning. I don't know where you're at in your life. I know where my struggles are. I know where I'm at in life, and I know I got a lot of work to continue on to do what I need to be do the right things. I don't know where you're at. As we're getting ready to stand and sing a song, there's only one thing that I ask for you from this morning. Soldiers of Christ, will you arise? Soldiers of Christ, will you arise? Stand if you want to be a soldier of Christ this morning as we get led in song this morning.